Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming today. I apologize about the earlier snafu with the timing. Unfortunately, some folks got inconsistent messages. Some thought we were starting at 8, others saw that we're starting at 8:30, and actually we still have a technical issue that we're trying to resolve, so it'll be another couple of minutes. Hang with us. We're going to mute you for just a sec for the folks listening online, and then we'll get started, hopefully in about 3 minutes. Okay, great. Thank you very much. All right, good morning. We're ready to go. So my name is Drew Zavatsky. I'll be starting the presentations today. I'll do the section on direct buy, followed by Greg Colbert, who will be talking about the EO 1803, thank you very much, Executive Order 1803. Christine Warnock will be speaking about our umbrella of environmental regulations. And then Farrell will be discussing the contract management. Thank you, contract management section. Welcome. So we've got quite a set of presentations today, and let's see if I can get. Of course, I can't get this to work. Okay, there we go. Okay, so online, folks who dial in, we worked it out. We won't be able to hear you. So what we're going to do is ask you to send us your comments or questions about what's going on online. That address is in the documentation you received when you registered. We will respond to those questions as possible. We'll be monitoring the mailbox throughout the morning. In addition, I should note that in order for us to track our demographics, if you're attending either in person or on the phone or by computer, please register if you've not already done so. Let's see. Oh, and a last point before I get into the actual presentation. The session for our purposes is being recorded so that we're certain to get all of the ideas that are expressed. So just for notification purposes, that's what's going on today. Okay, there are two objectives for this process. It is to streamline our policy development in general. The previous workshop, which was last year, helped immeasurably with us getting this together, getting it better, getting it more streamlined, and we're looking forward to that happening again today and moving forward. And the second is, of course, to obtain meaningful feedback on each of the policies and or executive orders that we'll be addressing today. Any questions so far? Okay, thank you. So, great. So, of course, if you're online, you will see this this slide. But if you're not online, everything that I've just displayed for you, you have no idea what I'm doing. So what I will say is that we have links and workshop call-in numbers that were all provided to you online, but they're also on the website for actually registering. So if you're still having a question on how to join us remotely, all that information is on our website. Let's see. Oh, emergency evacuation. In the unfortunate circumstance that something goes wrong in a sort of major way, we have a collection site in case of fire or other types of emergencies other than earthquake. You go out the door here to the left, out the front, and then the gathering point, I believe, is out by Jefferson. If there's an earthquake, duck and cover, and then wait for the clear sign for how to exit the building. Do not leave the building until that clear sign comes out, because you don't want to be injured and or killed by falling glass or other objects. Okay, great, okay. And then our PowerPoint presentation is available online, and we have screen readers available as well to assist you if you need that assistance. Okay, so this is a listening workshop. The objective is to hear all comments that are going to be made. It's challenging in this day and age to listen. But what we found, what I found personally with the last workshop, but was universally also the experience with everybody participating, was that the listening aspect became really important, because when we got to feedback, we were certain that the message that we had received was in fact transmitted correctly and then responded to appropriately. We're taking notes on all of your questions and the feedback that we receive from participants both here in the room and also, of course, online, what we're receiving. That is all being collected together. And if those of you who participated in the last workshop actually reviewed our feedback forms, you could see that we had extensive feedback and we had extensive response to all the feedback. And in fact, every single item was responded to. Let's see. The website for feedback, if you're listening by phone or following us online, is DESMI, Enterprise Procurement Policy, at des.wa.gov. But that is also, don't just take my word for it, it's in all of the documents and confirmations that were sent to you to prepare for today. Our feedback deadline for this workshop is June 13th, and we will summarize all feedback we receive, regardless of how it's received, and share it back with you, the stakeholders. Okay, so direct by policy. The objective for this section is to get all of your input on the revised draft direct by policy with a focus on the proposed limits. Now, of course, we're gonna accept all feedback, but really our focus here is on the limits and the ramifications of what's new, right? So a lot of what was discussed in the previous sessions we deemed as resolved. The issue here is specifically to what's new. So the new feedback will help us with the new parts of this policy. Okay, so let me go through the summary of the changes from the last workshop session in September. We increased the limit. The proposal goes from 10,000 and 13,000 to 30,000 and 40,000. We'll talk about that a little more in a moment. We added several items to the frequently asked question document, because there were certain ramifications of what we're doing that it seemed appropriate to have things that were not actually in the policy, because they're not dictates about the policy, but some of the ramifications of the policy are appropriate to put in an FAQ. There are various conditions and clarifications that we added related to things such as purchases from a large business's e-commerce site. Shipping costs are now included in the limit, or clarified to be included in the limits. Direct buy purchases accumulate annually per vendor. Repetitive purchases are discussed. Direct buy purchases in excess of delegated authority are discussed. What happens? How is that possible? Not how is that possible. What does that mean in practice? What do you do about it? Agency's responsibility to qualify vendors for direct buy level 2 also. That idea is confirming that it is a small business, for example. How do you do that? We also clarified the use of DES-approved cooperative contracts, because there was some question about the language before. It used to be about master contracts and cooperative contracts. What does that really mean in practice? We hopefully clarified that here. In addition, with sensitivity to the idea that a lot of these are new ideas, rather than have the typical 5-year refresh period on a policy, we said, now the refresh here is going to be 2 years, because we're going to be able to take a look at it in 2 years and say whether or not a lot of the changes that we propose, how well are they working? Great. Do they go far enough? Do they go too far? we'll find out. Okay. So there's the proposed limits that I already mentioned. Any comments about this at this point? Yes, sir. Yeah. So as I understand it, for the folks online, the question was in the second line of this slide, for the 40,000 proposed limit, do minority-owned businesses fall within the ambit of the purchases from Washington small businesses or the certified? And the short answer is yes, they do. Because as I understand it, those businesses are all small businesses. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, another question. Question is, do they have to be certified by OMWBE to be certified and therefore within the policy? That's the question. Answer? And I got to tell you that when we were drafting this proposal, the intent was to be broad, right? So in other words, all of those are included because the statute states that small business is a broad, wide area. Okay, so we had a question here and then a question in the back and then the side.
So the limits that are being proposed circumvents competition. So from an agency standpoint, I see great value in being able to not have to go through a six-month process in order to obtain services. As a vendor, entering into this about 5 years ago, basically we had to, and the only way we could enter state work is to go through that bidding process. And gain the awards. We could not bid on things that were higher than that and actually be awarded that because as an agency, you're looking at risk. And you say, well, I can't find that worth $100,000 and all of your prior work is a lower dollar amount. You have to build up that history before an agency will actually bring you that award, grant you that award. So by bringing those limits up to the 30,000 or 40,000 standard entry point, there's no mechanism for businesses to enter into government service. Once you're known, then people can continue to be a repeat customer. But you're not going to be able to be found out. My personal recommendation would be I'd like to see that lowered by 10% on both.
Okay, so that was a comment from. A vendor, yeah. And as a company that does a lot of software with a smaller dollar limit, your entry into competitive state market will be reduced per your statement because you're not going to be able to bid on things that will allow you to build a history that would then be recognized by a state to hire your company. So you would like this to be reduced from the 40,000 amount to 30,000?
Yeah.
20 and 30 is your request. Okay, thank you. Yes? So thank you. The comment was about the certified businesses through OMWBE and the difference, I guess, between those who are self-certified and those that are actually certified by the agency. Okay. All right, thank you. Yes, there was a comment back here and then up here. All the way back. Okay, so the question or the ask is, does business in fact have to be or show actual certification by OMWBE to fit within this, or are they self-certifying? And the self-certification will be sufficient for this. Am I getting that right? Okay, thank you. Yes, sir. Okay. So the question is, what are the benefits of certification? And does this policy currently, or the proposed policy, differentiate between those two categories of certified and not certified? Okay. Thank you very much. Yes.
Already having trouble entering the market, to be able to have a chance to contract with the state. I feel like by making them certified, one, it costs them money, and they generally small businesses to be certified by OMWBE. So I agree with this gentleman that we would need to establish what the benefits would be, because otherwise we're just building more of a wall for businesses that were not able to compete in the market before, and it completely undermines.
Okay, so I'm not even sure I can paraphrase that, but it sounded good. It sounds like the concern here in part is that this is not assisting the small minority women-owned businesses participate in the marketplace. It's another barrier instead, it's unclear whether or not this is a benefit or a barrier. Okay, and you're now nodding, so I'm gonna. Okay, excellent. Yes, sir. So the comment was, it appears that there are different limits depending on the status of either the purchase or the purchaser. Not for direct buy. Okay. Great. So the comment was add in the definitions of small business and what that actually means in terms of number of employees and business volume, sales volume, because that would make this more clear. Is that fair to say? That's okay. I think I repeated back to you what you said, and I think I'm getting nods that yes, I did. So I guess we'll leave it. I guess we'll leave it there. Excellent. Thank you very much. Yes. Yeah, everything's possible.
So does that mean yeah.
Yeah. I think the short, honest answer is I don't know. Seriously, I don't know. Because, and this is something that actually thought of your agency when this was being discussed, because if in fact, let's say the seller is Target, right? Okay, so DSHS wants to buy, and Target is the best place to get snow shovels, right? And yeah, everybody needs a snow shovel these days because things have changed. And we need to buy 20,000 snow shovels for this next season. They're not going to cost $1.50 each, right? So you can't do a direct buy. That's as straightforward as I can make it. So what that means is you have to compete that. Okay. Okay, so the comment is that the original policy is better and that we need to rethink this to make the idea fit for all size agencies. Okay, thank you. There were a lot of comments that popped up. I'm going to say here, 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 and then there. I feel like I'm running an auction. It's amazing.
So, I mean, that's like the immediate. I'm sure if you look at Apple, you could say we have spent more than $40,000 with Target.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not going to tell that maintenance guy, man, your phone dollar increase put us over that $40,000. So, keep that.
Right? Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to be able to. And so,
yeah.
Individual purchasers at DSHS will not be able to follow because they don't have the information.
Right. So I'm going to paraphrase again. I'm sorry. And please tell me if I don't get it right. But the idea is this may not be workable considering an agency that has multiple offices and multiple purchasers. And in fact, very difficult to communicate amongst the purchasers of whether or not you're reaching or exceeding a particular spending threshold. Is that what I heard? Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, so the discussion, the issue is the cumulative aspect of it for a large agency with multiple purchasing entities. There, let's see, I went so all the way in the back and then moving forward.
When we get 30,001, then it seems like we
Okay. So more discussion on ramifications of what is possible. I'm seeing some head nods yes and some head shakes no. So, and I'm saying that for just general purposes, because it's pretty clear that there's differences of ideas, maybe not of opinions, because we don't have the opinions yet. Yes, sir. See, it's at this point that I kind of wish I had taken the Donahue method. I could run around with a microphone, but unfortunately we can't do that. So the only mic that's being picked up to send out to folks is right here. So I'm going to try to capture what you just said. DOT echoes the DSHS concern about the cumulative aspect of the direct buy policy change. And then the DOT gentleman wanted to comment about an earlier comment, but I think that we're going to move on. When you remember what the comment is, maybe we'll get back to you. Great. And then you were next.
Yes. A couple of comments. Also, to have the other DSHS and DOT, I'm with DOT. I was with DOT. And we also have decentralized purchasing.
Okay.
And a real concern about being able to track. We don't have a way to track what one part of the agency might be purchasing in a timely fashion. Eventually we might know.
Okay.
But in a timely fashion, there's no way that we would know we've reached the $30,000 or $40,000 threshold. So that is an issue. Further comment is, I don't know that going back to the current way or old way of doing this is any better or helpful, because we still have the same problem with threshold. It's a lower threshold.
Yeah.
But you still have the same issue. How do you know when you've reached that threshold in different parts of the agency? So that's an issue. And then I did want to appreciate the clarification that it's supposed to be agency-wide, and appreciate that the limits have raised significantly, because that will help our agency quite a bit in resources and time for contracting purposes. And the last part is, I think that maybe we're forgetting that a lot of small item purchases can be done off the master contracts. Mm-hmm. And I look at this, at least from the way we've been using it at DOC, as services based, more so.
Okay.
An example could be a facilitator for training or lean training or whatever. But if I was going to get snow shovels, I'd first check with purchase services,
right,
and you know what master contracts we have, and then you don't have a limit. You can just go.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to get to you in just a second, sir. I'm going to try to sum that up. I know it's ridiculous. Or I'll make you an offer. If you email us that set of comments, we'll be sure to include it. Okay, perfect. All right, and then you'll see that in the consolidated comments. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. OMG. Yes. 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 There are three of the largest state agencies.
Comes to the old limit and current limit, are the vendors going to get hit with the lower while all the big money go out to these acronyms, or do we get looked at as the same all our certifications, and we just
yeah.
need to know like what it is that we really want to do and have to do, and don't have to compete with the acronyms.
Okay, so to try to paraphrase, I think the comment was that it would be helpful to have a way for small businesses to know how to access this market better, given this change. Is that fair to say? Okay, all right, so point noted. Yeah, thank you. And yes. Sure. Yeah. So just to as a general, the agencies are in the position of buyers, right? So the buyers are deciding what to buy. And a lot of the agencies, you know, the first step of their analysis is always typically or should be going to the master contract, right? So the first step for any small company would be, am I part of the master contract, right? Then if there's nothing in master contracts, then they start doing competitive procurements and all that sort of stuff. No? Yes? Yeah, okay. Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so funding may have an impact on available purchases under the direct buy policy, right? Because you may get the funding after the limit's already been exceeded for all the areas that you want to purchase in. Okay. Going back down this line and then over. So yes, sir. Yes. Annual. Fiscal year. Or that's the plan. Yeah.
Would they then be able to go like, oh, we need something else from you, 30 grand, and then be able to purchase it through your direct buy? Or would we have already exceeded that limit?
No, the direct buy deals with the items that are pursuant to the direct buy. If you already have a contract with a vendor, and you're looking to add something through that vendor, especially probably because it's available through the master contract anyway, this wouldn't have any impact on it whatsoever. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Then not in the way back, but one in front of you and then you. Yes. Okay. Great. Yes, sir. Okay, so the question as I understand it is, if you could buy through a master contract in a particular area, but then realize that there is a minority, small, whatever business, veteran-owned business in the same area, but is not under the master contract and was in the direct buy limit, could you instead contract with them? Right, and we will make that clarification. Thank you. And then, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. So the question, the comment is to change the word from purchases from all vendors to purchases of each commodity, right? Individual commodity and or service. Okay. And
let me ask a question from the line here. With the proposed increase in the direct labor, this is from Eastern Washington University, will individual agencies, such as institutions of higher education, have the ability to manage the limits they see fit? For example, DES has raised the direct labor limit to $30,000 to $40,000. Higher institutions shouldn't remain. And so the answer to that would be yes, they could remain in the
same. Sure. Yes. Institution can decide to, you can always decide to make something more restrictive, because the more restrictive will comply with our policy. Yes. Okay, so the comment is to rethink making this a cumulative limit, because application of it can be problematic in various scenarios. Yes, in the back corner. Thank you. So the comment was that most states have a much lower limit, but it's a per transaction basis, not an annual cumulative basis. Yes, sir.
It may be is the reason behind $28,000. Do you come in, okay, can we buy a $2,000 worth? Or is it even though we should get $30,000 or $28,000 as well? It gets easier. Again, that 10 to 13 is easier, but per transaction and not the cumulative per organization per year, where right now you're tracking those transactions. The 10 to 13 as a region is difficult to get monitored. Where we go with this 30,000, 40,000 cumulative annually is going to be difficult even for us internally to say, okay, because we have a very decentralized purchasing program, it's difficult to track as we are. So if we go to this and cumulative, I can understand there's something to review, or I'm going to write a request a quote out there to counteract that and just say, as a region, you have to buy from this vendor for this product, which again then eliminates the competition, and we are eliminating so many more businesses that could have had a transaction. Where if we have a spend, if it was more of a reasonable level, or if it's just that annual spend, for instance, you know, where we're tracking as far as we're not buying, you know, $28,000 economy from the bank for one product, and the next we provide the same product, the same amount. Those are the things that we need to get more of. Is it per transaction? What is that time? Because right now, even at 10 per week, we're debating as to is it, what's the reasonable time? 3 months, 6 months, annually, what is that? Where is that in the mix? And what can we do to make sure that we're not having a person violate, but that we're still giving these areas of freedom to buy what they need, that the right buy is not on a master contract. So all those guys, especially transportation, are very expensive. That we see, especially when we get into the signals area, things, you know, we get all over the 10,000 that's provided with. It's not already on the master contract. You have to get a request for. A lot of the times it says 14,000. Well, that's over 13,000, but they were small. So if we can get those where it hits the sweet spot, I think for most everybody, where it's those people that are in the procurement side, what is that sweet spot of purchasing per transaction? We're still allowing competition, still getting bids and quotes for those, not just saying, I'm going to stick with this vendor, this transaction, the same amount every time we can limit. Those are the things I think are a better look at rather than saying, we're going to really, we're going to give you this increase.
Okay. So to paraphrase, get the chain. you understand the change, it is not an improvement. I mean, that's basically what I'm hearing. Although the previous is not perfect, I mean, nobody's saying it is, but it's not an improvement. Is that fair to say? Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
There may be either at your proposed level or at some midpoint, but I think it really needs to be a limit on per transaction versus this cumulative. Because I think it's very problematic both for the buyers and for the vendors in order to comply with the cumulative number versus I think it'd be a lot per transaction.
Okay. All right. So the cumulative is difficult because of the tracking or record keeping aspect of it per transaction is preferred. Is that the comment? Yes, thank you. And then there were a bunch of people over here and I'll get back to you. Yeah, in the back. Well, there usually is, Michael. So two comments there. The first one was advocating for removing the cumulative aspect to this right now because in practice, what is happening currently and what most people are used to doing is, I'm paraphrasing, is transactional analysis as opposed to cumulative analysis. And the other comment was, and yet there are times when you realize that you're getting close to something and maybe you do need to look at repetitive or at least bulk purchasing. Call other regions, find out if you're going to do that, and then go ahead and do that. And that was a DOT comment. And it sounded like a DOT comment. Thank you. Yes. So that was a positive comment. I would be happy. That's almost a direct quote. Yes. And which agency? Thank you. State Investment Board. We listen to, no, I'm kidding. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, do you want to speak to this, or I mean, I can. I don't. Yeah, the basic idea was we went to NASPO and we said, we asked that there's a share system. There's an email system way to ask all state procurement groups what that state's rules and or laws say. Question was put out about their direct buys, and we got these comments back from all these states. Not every state responded. There are, as you might imagine, in 50 different states, 50 different ways to slice the apple, and some of them it was like we couldn't understand their response. We didn't put a number up there. I'm speaking about myself now. I'm not speaking about them. They're smarter than I am. So anyway, the one that just stands out to me is the one that I can never remember the name of the state. Sorry, but I'm a West Coast boy. But it basically goes to 50,000, you know, and they're one of the few that is actually way higher than what we are proposing. Most are lower, but again, many of these are transactional. Okay, so that's kind of what we went in there to take a look at and help discern what's going. We relied on some legal analysis also, and part of why we looked at the 30-40 numbers was that we wanted to keep a relational difference. Like if we're gonna increase from 10 and 13, what are we gonna move it up to? We're also mindful of the fact that if you go hog wild, then actually it'll go beyond a lot of agencies' delegation of authority for goods. You know, so you don't wanna do that either, right? Because that's risk-based, so. Hmm. Yeah.
There were a lot of these states within these limits of the Pennsylvania, it may be broken down between goods and professionals. And there may be a different number. So there's a lot of caveats. Look at that. Everything maybe for some of the channels.
Right.
There was a lot of different stipulations on
it. Yeah.
And if you look, we are at, we're very close to the upper limit of the United States. And we're turning the corner. So there's most of these, we've got places. So there's a lot of people that are lower end.
And what's tricky about some of these states, too, is that right now, in our context, we're talking about goods and services, right? But guess what? A lot of these have mixed analysis. So if it's a number of services, right? It was really difficult to have this for every single state.
And in addition to that, there were a number of them that wasn't a clear trend around whether it was transactional, whether it was cumulative.
Yeah.
So that was a big part of the discussion that we had. There was really no clear evidence on that. Some went way far, some went the other way.
And you said your hand up for some time.
I really appreciate the interest of reducing the administrative burden for agencies as well as vendors, and also that goal of increasing the vendor pool that agencies are working with. I think this analysis is always interesting, but I think I would be particularly curious to know if out of these states, which ones have maybe found greater efficiencies and have actually seen more diversity of vendors that are getting direct buys, not just what their limits are without that additional context.
So the comment was looking at the map specifically, how many of these states or which of these states actually show a benefit to the small, I'll say small businesses, but understanding it's an umbrella term, for the small businesses for having the limits at what they are at, or if in fact any of them increase them and whether there was a good impact of that. Is that fair to say as a comment? And your hand was up over here?
Yeah. Roughly,
And you had a comment. Okay.
Numbers are great, but you know, second thing that you want to measure is how effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the second comment that I would like to make is if you increase the barriers for agencies to actually do their job and do contracting, then you're actually reducing our opportunities for small business.
Yeah.
So again, if you
yeah. Okay. Excellent. Thank you. So let's see. Yes, sir.
So you talked about people that live in Hawaii, and the there for the state of some of the problems. At this point, as written, it says that the agency that is written again, it doesn't specify that there is the direct time limit. When that time period is eventually when we purchase pencils a lot, I feel like our master contract, but if they weren't, not $12 pencils because we buy
sure.
them money.
Yeah.
Our current strategy for those types of repetitive purchases is anticipated range. So we anticipate cumulative purchases at the time we make that first purchase to go over the direct time limit. That's when we'll look at.
Okay.
It's really about that mindset. I know Michael talked about that before. It's really about the mindset at the time you made that purchase. And if you do anticipate that it's going to work, that's an easy thing for us to actually.
Sure. So the comment is now taking it sort of outside of or in addition to the realm of the cumulative issue, what the repetitive issue brings. And the idea that repetitive perhaps needs some clarification in the FAQs because, yeah, if it's repetitive, but it's under the limit and it's, you know, over a period of 3 months or 5 months, are we really going to have to compete that? That's what I was hearing you say. Is that fair to say? So, yeah, point taken. We'll clarify that in the FAQ. Thank you. Other comments? Yes, sir.
Because all of our providers, only one, maybe two providers for that item. So it's not like that really garners this huge amount of traffic by having to post this online for bids. I mean, it still may be maybe three bands that I could have purchased from them that are large bands that are not small for no reason. These are still bigger vendors that a lot of these things, yeah, we still send out the quote because it's over the limit. It still doesn't create really true competition. Whereas if we have people on some of these things that aren't those three big vendors or two big vendors that is provided locally, it gives me the ability to buy for the small business locally, not just a small business. A lot of those that are on master contracts, they may say they're a you know minority one better owned business, but they're not necessarily a small business. And for me to be able to provide jobs locally is my goal from the procurement side, not just small business. I'd rather buy from a small business in my local area than buy it from, you know, a small business that's right in Washington, Oregon, or in Eastern Washington. It's providing jobs in my area, not another area, you know, is a small business.
So I'm not even sure how to begin to capture that. It sounded like more information about perhaps the challenges of moving business to a small business, given either the cumulative aspect of this or, and I'm just assuming now, the repetitive aspect of some of this. Is that fair to say? Yes, cool. Thank you. Okay, awesome. I would propose moving to, I'm sorry, yes.
I think once you start segmenting down, so I would disagree with our initial commodity based on snow shovel, that's just going to
under, if it's under 15,000, 20,000, it's not really going to impact us. I think one of the challenges that we have as a small business is we can either do the job or we can apply the job. The actual application process takes usually 40 to 80 hours when we apply for a job through the web system. So from a small business, making that process faster would increase the our ability to respond. And then also the insurance limits. We're seeing some things that a small business, we can't actually purchase the amount of insurance that is needed. That may be specific to IT work, where it's like, well, we want $30 million of insurance and for a $30,000 site.
Okay, thank you. So a request, what I heard was a request for perhaps streamlining how direct buy purchases are made from a vendor perspective. Is that fair? Okay, great, thank you. I was going to propose looking at, do I have 3 minutes? Is that right? Wow, I have 3 minutes. What should I do next? I mean, the main thing that I was going to ask at this point was, there anything about the FAQs? We already heard a comment about one of them that raised some either heartburn or warm and fuzzy feelings. Yes, I said warm and fuzzy feelings. Yes. Yeah.
What is that benefit to you? How am I going to get that money back? What business is giving me the rest when it's costing me to do it and I'm already having a hard time getting by? What is that hitting on some of the people that I've been on? Really, I have to look all in the ways to get in. And if it's a $6,000 year hand for a service contract, I'm only getting $500 a month. How does that fee? How do I get that money back? That's possible, or what benefit will I get? I think that's a continual question that I get from small business.
Okay.
What's my incentive? Why should I, especially when we're talking about, you know, we're both going out, and, you know, I'm not going to be able to outbid this bigger company. How do I get that money back?
So are registration and or certification costs precluding small businesses from the market? Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Quick one, I have a minute left. Do the policy documents, notwithstanding all of your comments, did they improve clarity in some areas? They did. Okay, so thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs up? Okay, great. Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying we don't have issues. I mean, it's like, hey, let me tell you, I'm going to a therapist, but I still got issues. So, yeah. Thank you all for your attention. Awesome.